Rule number 6. Lying doesn't solve anything, usually. It didn't take long for the kissing game to become the rage of the fourth grade. Well, among most of the girls, anyway. The boys still had no idea what was going on. Until it was their turn to be chased, that is. Then, they found out pretty quickly. If you ask me, they liked it. Well, okay, that's an exaggeration. Patrick Day liked it. Most of the rest of the boys didn't seem to. Most of the rest of the boys would run so fast when they saw that stampede of girls coming toward them, you would think their hair was on fire. But Patrick Day would only run away from them for a little while, and not very fast either, before letting himself get caught. You could tell he liked it when Cheyenne leaned in and kissed him. He'd laugh and yell, "Stop, stop, take it easy. There's enough of me to go around, you know, ladies." Whereas all the other boys would yell, furiously wipe their cheeks where she'd kissed them and go, "Get away from me, gross, Cheyenne, that's sick." Caroline, Sophie, Erica, and I, watching from the sidelines, just shook our heads and tried to figure out how all this had happened. Rosemary, whose recess kickball games were suffering from these constant interruptions, she never knew when one of her team members might turn out to be a target for Cheyenne, was less concerned with how it had happened and more concerned with making it stop. "Maybe if I gave them all a fist sandwich," she said, meaning Cheyenne and all the other girls involved. "You can't," I said to her. "There are too many of them." "I'll stomp them," Rosemary said. She looked like she meant it. "Like the little rats they are." I was glad I wasn't one of those rats. But I also knew violence wasn't the answer. I told this to Rosemary. "It's not our fight," I explained. "The boys are the victims. It's up to them to do something." "Oh, right," Rosemary said, rolling her eyes. "Like that's going to happen?" I hated to say it, but it was looking like Rosemary was right. The boys were totally incapable of figuring out how to solve the problem, even though it was really bothering them. Well, except Patrick Day. Stuart Maxwell told me in a shaky voice that the first time Cheyenne picked him out as her victim for the kissing game, it had been like a nightmare as he'd found himself cornered by the circle of girls, only to see Cheyenne's lips coming closer and closer to his cheek, until finally the smell of Cranberry Kiehl's lip balm had overwhelmed him. "And that's when," Stuart told me in a horrified voice, "I knew it was all over." "Well," I said, "you should have run faster." I maybe felt a little bit sorry for not having warned him about what was going to happen. But truthfully, I didn't have a whole lot of sympathy for him, or any of the boys. I mean, if they didn't want to get caught and kissed, there was something they could have done. Tell Mrs. Hunter. She was always standing out there by the flagpole with the other teachers. I'd even seen her staring at the running girls with a slightly perplexed look on her pretty face, as if she was trying to figure out what was happening. Any boy who wanted to escape Cheyenne and her puckered lips could easily have run up to the teachers and asked them to make her stop. I didn't understand why they didn't. Although it might have been for the same reasons why I, when I was being threatened by a bully when I first started at Pine Heights Elementary, didn't want to tell my mom for fear she'd tell Mrs. Hunter. It might actually have made things worse. If the kissing game was bad for the boys who got caught and kissed by Cheyenne, except for Patrick who liked it, it seemed in some ways to be worse for the boys Cheyenne didn't seem interested in catching and kissing. And one of those boys was Joey Fields. I don't know what poor Joey did to make Cheyenne so uninterested in him, but she treated Joey like he had the chicken pox and poison ivy combined. And this was bad, because Joey wanted to be kissed by Cheyenne. A lot. I knew this because every day he bugged me about it. For some reason, Joey thought I was in on the whole kissing game. And he kept asking me about it. Like, "Allie, who are they going to chase at recess today?" And, "Do you think they'll chase me? I hope not. Ruff, ruff!" Except that you could tell that underneath the "I hope nots" and the nervous barking, Joey really hoped they would chase him. I could tell because he started bringing mints to school and sucking them all the time. It was about as sad as it was gross. Plus, he actually started washing the sleep dust out of his eyes every morning and combing down the sticky-outy parts of his black hair. Also, he made an effort to separate himself from the rest of the guys on the playground so he'd make an easy target for Cheyenne if she wanted to issue the command to start chasing him. Instead of playing kickball, like he usually did, Joey started sitting by himself on the swings, reading a book. Or pretending to read a book, I should say. Really, he was just opening the book while watching the girls to see if they were going to chase him or not. This was how I became sure that my eyes hadn't been playing tricks on me that first day I'd moved to my new desk. Joey Fields really was the other kid in room 209 who was reading Mrs. Hunter's collection of boxcar children books. He was hoarding them all on his desk. I saw him with them out on the playground, and sometimes I saw him taking them home at night. I couldn't understand how a boy as weird as Joey could love the same kind of books I did. Also, I couldn't figure out how I could make him give them back. He had, like, 10 of them in his desk. The one time I confronted him about it, "Joey," I said in my most reasonable big sister voice. Sometimes you have to use your reasonable voice to get what you want, especially with boys. This is a rule. "Why do you have all of Mrs. Hunter's boxcar children books in your desk? Those books are for everyone, you know. You're supposed to borrow them one at a time. Please put them back so all of us can enjoy them." He denied that they were there and tried to make out like I was seeing things. Liar! Lying doesn't solve anything, usually. This is a rule. I understand a boy like Joey might be ashamed to be caught reading the same books as a girl. But still, he didn't have to lie about it. I was a little bit glad that Cheyenne didn't want to kiss Joey, even though you could tell he was totally miserable about it. I wouldn't have wanted to kiss him either, although the fact was, I didn't want to kiss any boy. So there I was, stuck in the back row between a boy who was miserable because the new girl in our class wouldn't stop kissing him, and a boy who was miserable because the new girl in our class didn't want to kiss him. This was just living proof of what my Uncle Jay was saying a lot lately, about how there was no justice in the world. I was pretty mad about it, especially since I had innocently been taking a drink from the water fountain. Like everything else in Pine Heights Elementary School, the water fountains are old-fashioned, not the kind with the pedal that you step on or a button that you push to make the water come out, but a star-shaped cranky thing you turn. In the hallway on our way to the choir room for music class, when Cheyenne got in line behind me, with Dominique and Marianne in line behind her, and asked, "Drink much?" in a snotty voice, which I guess in Canadian meant I was taking too long or something. So I stopped drinking and turned around, wiping my mouth with the back of my wrist, before I told Cheyenne to finkle off. This caused Cheyenne to go, "Way to drool." Then Dominique and Marianne laughed, exactly like they laughed when Cheyenne had asked, "Drink much?" I just looked at Cheyenne some more because I was thinking that actually, the shirt she'd been wearing her first day at school had turned out not to be telling the truth. She wasn't talent not talk. Cheyenne talked quite a lot, it turned out. She talked all the time. She was always getting caught chit-chatting in class by Mrs. Hunter, but never with her neighbor, Erica. She was always chit-chatting with Dominique, who sat behind her, or Marianne, who sat in front of her, or Shamira, who sat catty corner from her, when she wasn't passing cootie catchers to them. Today she was wearing a long-sleeved shirt that had sparkles all over the front that formed the words girl power. Girl power, when it came to Cheyenne, was right. She had a little too much girl power, if you ask me.
"Well," Cheyenne said to me, "are you going to move or what?"
I started to walk away, because there didn't seem to be anything more to say, when the sound of Cheyenne's voice stopped me.
"Hey, Allie," she said, "how come you never want to play the kissing game with us at recess?"
I looked over my shoulder at her. "Because I think the kissing game is stupid," I said. "Why would I want to chase after a boy so you could kiss him, especially any of the boys from our class? They're gross." This caused Dominique and Marianne to erupt into even more giggles, as if this was the funniest thing they'd ever heard in their entire lives. Cheyenne laughed too.
"Oh, Allie," she said, "you're so immature."
I walked away when she said that and kept walking, straight into the music room. I sat down next to Erica, Caroline, and Sophie. I didn't say anything just then about what Cheyenne had accused me of, but I couldn't stop thinking about it. Was I immature? I didn't think so. I actually thought I was quite mature for my age, unlike some girls I know. I don't cry at the drop of a hat just because I don't get my way. I had nursed a premature kitten to health all by myself, practically. And I was one of the top spellers and the best girl in math and science, besides Caroline, in our entire class. I also took very good care of my little brothers, most of the time. And even of my Uncle Jay, now that he had pretty much moved into our house due to his depression over his girlfriend breaking up with him. Weren't these actually signs of great maturity? Yes, I thought they were. Cheyenne may have been from a big city in Canada, but that didn't mean she knew what she was talking about. Just because a person didn't want to run around the playground like a maniac chasing boys and then kissing them did not mean a person wasn't mature. Or did it? I thought about it all day, but I couldn't figure it out. Was Cheyenne right? Was I really immature and just didn't know it? Finally, I couldn't stand it anymore. I had to know. "Do you guys think I'm immature?" I asked Caroline, Sophie, Erica, and Rosemary as we were walking home from school that day. Normally, Rosemary took the bus to and from school, but her mom was going to swing by to pick her up from my house later so she could make another Musy film, since the last one didn't turn out as well as she wanted.
"No," Caroline said. "Who told you you were immature?"
"Cheyenne," I said.
"Who cares what she thinks?" Rosemary asked scornfully.
Sophie sucked in her breath.
"She told me I was immature too."
"She did?" I was shocked to hear this. I think Sophie is actually quite mature. She has four purses, including an imitation Dolce & Gabbana one her mother bought her in Chinatown in New York City.
"When?"
"The other day, when she told me I should just go up to Prince Peter and tell him my true feelings for him," Sophie said. "She said if I did this, then Prince Peter would ask me to go with him." Rosemary made a gagging noise.
"Go where?" Erica asked curiously. "That's what I said," Sophie cried. "That's when Cheyenne laughed and told me I was immature."
Caroline pressed her lips together until her mouth was a flat line. She only does this when she's very, very angry.
"She doesn't have any right," she said. "She can't tell us what to do."
"She's telling everyone else what to do," I said. "She's got every girl in the class playing her stupid kissing game."
"Except us," Rosemary pointed out.
"Except us," I corrected myself.
"I heard Cheyenne is having a spa slumber party this weekend," Sophie said.
"What's that?" Erica wanted to know.
"Everyone is going to the mall to get manicures and pedicures," Sophie explained.
And then they're going back to Cheyenne's house to do each other's hair and makeup, make bath bombs, sip herbal teas, and watch makeover movies.
Why didn't we get invited? Erica wanted to know.
Who cares? Rosemary yelled. Why would you even want to go? That sounds horrible. Herbal tea? Blech.
What's a bath bomb? Caroline wondered.
Still, Erica said, I don't think it's very nice of her to invite every other girl in the class and not us. Is that even allowed?
If it's a bomb you can use to blow up bathtubs, Rosemary said.
I want one.
Maybe Cheyenne just forgot to invite us, Erica said. Or maybe our invitations are still in the mail.
I don't think we're going to be invited, Erica, Caroline said.
We'd reached my house and were going in through the mudroom door.
I think we're going to have to face the fact that we're too immature for Cheyenne and her crowd.
Good, Rosemary declared. I'm glad they think I'm immature, if it means I don't have to sit around getting nail polish put on me, sipping boring tea, and making bombs for bathtubs.
Whoa. Uncle Jay, who'd been wandering down the hall with a blanket around his shoulders, something he could be found doing most afternoons around our house, now that Harmony wasn't his girlfriend anymore, stood there staring at us.
Who's going to bomb a bathtub?
No one, I said to him. At least, I don't think so. What's a bath bomb?
It's a thing, Uncle Jay said, that you drop into hot bath water that fizzes and smells nice. I think it's supposed to make your skin soft. Harmony...
His eyes got a faraway look in them, like they always do when he mentions Harmony's name.
Sometimes use them.
Caroline, Sophie, Erica, Rosemary, and I all looked at each other with guilty expressions for reminding Uncle Jay of his lost love.
What's this?
My dad's voice boomed out from the hallway, and I saw him coming toward us from the dining room, where he likes to do his paperwork when he's home.
Girl Scout meeting?
Dad, I said, embarrassed as all my friends laughed at him, because he looked so silly with his eyeglasses perched up on top of his head.
We just came over to see Musy, Mr. Finkel, Rosemary said.
Oh, Dad said. Well, knock yourselves out. I think your mother left some snacks in the kitchen.
A little while later, after what Dad called a stampede, but I don't think that was fair. I think it was more like a dignified rush, for the peanut butter and crackers Mom left out. We gathered in my room so Rosemary could film Musy. Since Musy is still a kitten and is only just getting to know his way around our ginormous house, he is only allowed out of my room when I'm home, and never allowed outside, since it's winter. And if he got lost, he could freeze to death. And we could talk about Cheyenne's slumber party that none of us had been invited to, even though Erica kept saying our invitations were probably still in the mail, something only Erica believed.
It's just because we won't play your stupid kissing game, Sophie said as she ran the pink sparkle brush through Musy's long gray and black tail fur, except the tip, which is white. Also, although Musy likes to be brushed sometimes, other times, he thinks you're playing with him, and he tries to eat the brush, like he was doing now.
You mean, you think if we acted like big idiots and ran around the playground screaming our heads off chasing the boys? Caroline said, looking up from one of my boxcar children books. We'd be invited too?
Exactly, Sophie said.
Ow!
This last statement was directed at Musy.
I don't know why you all even care about going to that girl's stupid slumber party, Rosemary said.
She'd gotten a good shot of Musy playfully biting Sophie's finger.
It sounds like a giant snooze fest to me. Manicures and pedicures and doing each other's hair. Ugh. If you guys want to go to a slumber party so bad, why don't we just have our own?
Caroline, Sophie, and I all looked at each other. Even Erica looked up from the webkins she was arranging on my window seat. Hey, I said, that's not a bad idea.